Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vatsadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Deving Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye Nashta Prayeshava Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, the prayers of Queen Kunti. And I understand this is a Bhakti Vaibhava session, and so we're reading a few verses, and we're starting with verse number 28. Manye tvam kalamishanam. Manye tvam kalam ishanam Anadi nidanam vibhum Anadi nidanam vibhum Samang charantam sarvatra Samang charantam sarvatra Bhutanam yanmita kali Bhutanam yanmita kali Manye tvam kalam ishanam Anadi nidanam vibhum Samang charantam sarvatra Bhutanam yanmita kali. Rupam Kalamishanam Adi Nidanam Vibhum Samang Charantam Sarvatra Bhutanam Yanmitakali Manyetam Kalamishanam Adi Nidanam Vibhum Samang Charantam Sarvatra Bhutanam Yanmitakali. Right, what does it mean? Manye. I consider. Tvam. What's that mean? Yes. Your lordship. Kalam. What's that? Yes. The eternal time. Ishanam, the Supreme Lord. Anadi Nidanam, without beginning and end. Vibhum, all pervading. Samam, equally merciful. Chadantam, distributing. Sarvatra, everywhere. Bhutanam, of the living beings. Yatmita, by intercourse. Kali, dissension. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, I consider your Lordship to be eternal time, the Supreme Controller, without beginning and end, the All-Pervasive One. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. Purport, Kunti Devi knew that Krishna was neither her nephew nor an ordinary family member of her paternal house. She knew perfectly well that Krishna is the primeval Lord who lives in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, Paramatma. Another name of the Paramatma feature of the Lord is Kala, or eternal time. Eternal time is the witness of all our actions, good and bad, and thus resultant reactions are destined by Him. It is no use saying that we do not know why and for what we are suffering. We may forget the misdeed for which we may suffer at this present moment, but we must remember that Paramatma is our constant companion, and therefore He knows everything, past, present, and future. And because the Paramatma feature of Lord Krishna destines all actions and reactions, He is the Supreme Controller also. Without His sanction, not a blade of grass can move. The living beings are given as much freedom as they deserve, and misuse of that freedom is the cause of suffering. The devotees of the Lord do not misuse their freedom, and therefore they are the good sons of the Lord. Others who misuse freedom are put into miseries destined by the eternal Kala. The Kala offers the conditioned souls both happiness and miseries. It is all predestined by eternal time. As we have miseries uncalled for, so we may have happiness also without being asked. For they are all predestined by Kala. No one is therefore either an enemy or friend of the Lord. Everyone is suffering and enjoying the result of his own destiny. This destiny is made by the living beings in course of social intercourse. Everyone here wants to lord it over the material nature, and thus everyone creates his own destiny under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. He is all-pervading, and therefore he can see everyone's activities. And because the Lord has no beginning or end, he is known also as the eternal time, Kala. So that's the first of four verses on the list I was informed would be for today. These are famous prayers. Queen Kunti is one of the stars of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are in the first chapters of the first canto, and so we are in the prelude to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's an interesting prelude because Krishna is featured as he is preparing to leave. And Queen Kunti is offering prayers to the Lord, knowing that he is departing for Dwaraka, and perhaps also knowing that not so long after this, he will depart from the world. And so she's offering her prayers and her expressions of affection and her deep appreciation, her gratitude for all that Krishna has done in her life and the life of her sons, protecting them. And now in this section, she is beginning to express wonder. Wonder and amazement. And this will come in the following verses. But in this verse, she is, in a sense, reaching up to the extreme limits of abstraction of what is Krishna. Krishna is Kala. He is time. He is the Lord. He is without beginning, without end. He is the Great One, Vibhu, which means, as Prabhupada translates, also all-pervading. He is all of these things, samam charantam sarvatra. He is charantam, he is going everywhere equally. Is another way to translate this. Srila Prabhupada says he is distributing equally his mercy. Probably this is in one of the commentaries, but the word mercy is not immediately visible in the Sanskrit. So this transcendent Lord. The emphasis is on his transcendence, but also on his presence. He is equal everywhere. But then in the last line, Bhutanam yan mita kali, it seems like almost a non sequitur. Non sequitur means something that doesn't follow from what comes before. Suddenly something about living entities and how they're in conflict. The word Kali can mean the age of Kali, and it can also mean conflict. And the word Mita can mean exchange, and it can also mean conflict. So there's, through conflict of the living entities, there is conflict. Because there is this multiplicity of living entities, bhutanam, there is kali, there is conflict. Also, the word kali, incidentally, can mean the single mark on a dice, which has 1, 2, 3, 4 sides in Indian dice. It's not six-sided, it's apparently four-sided, oblong. And there's Kali, Dvapara, Treta, and Krita. Krita is four. That's the winning number. And Kali is the losing number. So this is the losing age that we're in. And why is it a losing age? Because so much conflict is there. Where is there not conflict among the living entities? In Prabhupada's purport, he is focusing on the word kala as identification of the character, the quality, the nature of Krishna, and he's rather surprisingly, he's emphasizing this notion of predestination. One almost feels as if he's giving a purport for a verse in the literature of the Ajivikas. The Ajivikas were a group existing more than 2,000 years ago in India, who apparently were fatalists to the extreme. They said, there is absolutely nothing you can do about your fate. They said this, and at the same time, apparently, they were ascetics, and one wonders why they would go to all the trouble to practice austerities and, you know, subject themselves to great bodily pains if it doesn't make any difference. But in any case, the little we know about the Ajivikas from the critics of the Ajivikas, there's no literature remaining from the Ajivikas themselves, they were fatalists. And it almost sounds like this is what Srila Prabhupada is promoting here, some kind of fatalism. It's all fixed. How is it fixed? Everything is fixed by time, and what is time, or rather, who is time? Time is the Supreme Lord. It would seem like that, but obviously this is, unfortunately, this is not the whole story. And the greater story, the bigger story, is the notion here of predestination as the consequences of one's actions which have been done in the past, which, however, can be changed by two things. One, one's own choice to redirect one's own actions, and by the grace of the Lord. There's a lot written about karma and how it works and how it's quite mysterious. And in our course on the Shatdarshanas, the last couple of weeks, we've been looking a little bit at this. And the question arises, all right, you've done something, good or bad, and it's going to have a result in the future. What is it that carries, that leads to material nature acting in such a way that your action is somehow rewarded or punished? What is it that makes the atoms, the combinations of atoms, if you take the Vaisheshika philosophy? Or what is it that makes Prakriti and the gunas, if you take if you look through Sankhya philosophy, to cooperate with or to realize or to unfold what you do? So in the Vaisheshika system, they have what's called adrishta. Their answer is, it is unseen. It is unseen. They have this kind of mystery box. Because Vaisheshika, earlier Vaisheshika at least, is a non-theistic tradition, although it's considered Gnostica. It's Astika. It follows the Vedic and Brahmanical tradition. But it's essentially, in its early forms, non-theistic. In Purva Mimamsa, which is all about how we should perform sacrifice because the Vedas say we should perform sacrifice, and the Vedas are apurusheya revelation, and if we simply do what the Veda says, then all will be well, has the notion of apurva. Apurva and adrishta have often been equated. You do your ritual action, karma, properly, and to do your ritual action properly, according to the rules, according to the instruction, and with the mantras pronounced just right, and so on and so forth, then where's my result, which is promised in the Veda? That is apurva. That is not previous. It is coming. It will come. Be assured. And so it calls for faith. It calls for some acceptance of the word of Shastra, of Veda. And then the whole process is meant to imbibe that faith. By that practice, one imbibes that faith. Well, in the Bhagavatam, which incorporates some ideas from Mimamsa and also from Vaisheshika and also from Sankhya and also from Yoga, and makes it all theistic, the essential answer we have to the question of how karma is worked out is, there is Krishna, there is the Lord, and He, as the Supersoul, is all-knowing, and as Prabhupada says, He, even if we don't remember, He remembers. And He's accompanying each and every one of us with that memory, so that, and He's, the Supersoul is present in every atom, and as I like to always remember Hriday Nanda Maharaj saying, He's so small, He's smaller than the smallest, so it's not that He has to squeeze Himself into the atom. He can run at full speed for 3 hours inside one atom. So that smallest of the smallest Lord, present in everything, knowing everything, He remembers, and He then arranges. And arrangements can be quite amazing. Just a few days ago, it was in the news that a very unfortunate accident happened in London. One helicopter fell out of the sky in the middle of the city. Well, it didn't exactly just fall out of the sky. It hit a crane, a very tall construction crane. And it had been foggy, and the pilot had called just before this that he wanted to land at a closer airport than was planned because of the fog. But alas, that was not to be. He hit the crane, he came down, the pilot was killed, one person on the ground was killed. The crane operator, however, was not killed. Why? Because he was not there. Why was he not there? He had not yet come to work. He was a man, it was reported, who never came late to work. But on that day, he came late to work, and so his life was saved. How is this happening? You know, so these things are happening. And why they're happening, we would understand because of Kala in cooperation, we might say, with that very same Lord who is Kala, namely Paramatma. So let's move on to the next verse. Na veda kaschit bhagavans chikirshitam tave hamanasya nrinam vidambanam na yasya kaschit daitostikar hechit veshascha yasmin vishamamatirinam. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. This theme of Krishna's apparently favoring and yet being not favoring, yet being equal, runs as one of the threads through very much of the Bhagavatam. It's the big question out of which we have the story of the appearance of Lord Nrsimhadev, which begins in the third canto and doesn't really end until he appears in the seventh canto. This question, is the Lord equal or is he not equal? And the answer is both. He is equal, and then again, he is favoring his devotees. And that is a kind of equality. And because Prahlad, his dear devotee, is equal to everyone, therefore the Lord is favorable to him, is favoring him. Prahlad is equal to everyone. He's so equal that he's wishing well for his father, despite everything. And because of that equanimity of Prahlad, therefore, the Lord appears to be unequal. He appears to favor his devotee. And he does favor his devotee because he is equal to everyone. No one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so are misleading. And the important word here is vidambanam, which Srila Prabhupada translates as misleading. The word will come up again at least one more time in the next verse, and I believe also later. And it's associated very much. It's associated very much with the activities of the Lord when he appears in the world. It's the character of the Lord when he appears. It's the Lord's being tricky. His being acting in such a way that cannot be understood. That confusion is there. But Kunti Devi is not in anxiety because of this. She is celebrating this confusion. This is wonderful that you are so like this. She is appreciating how the Lord is. So in the next verse, this is elaborated. Janma karma cha vishvatman ajasya kartur atmana tiryan rishishu yadasu tat atyanta vidambanam. Of course it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work though you are inactive, that you take birth though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. Tiryak, by the way, means animal. Literally, it means horizontal going or transverse. So animals, that walk on four legs, that's a tiryak. And then Nrishishu, Yada, so Yada is a giant aquatic monster, according to the Sanskrit dictionary. So the Lord appears among the, it's the locative plural, Tiryan Rishi Shu Yada Su. This is locative plural, which means among, to go in among. So the Lord appears among all these different living beings. This is amazing that the Lord is not just appearing on earth. That's amazing enough. He's also appearing in the water. He's also appearing in the air. He's appearing amongst all these different forms of living entities. Prabhupada explains elsewhere, he appears among all the different species. This is amazing. And for Kunti Devi, this is wonderful. It is a wonder. It is a glorious wonder that you are doing this. Kunti is addressing the Lord. We might ask ourselves if we were in Kunti's situation, the Lord is standing before us. What would we say? How would we address the Lord? How would we speak with him? Then verse 31. Now she becomes specific. She's gone from being extremely abstract to now describing one of the intimate pastimes of Lord Krishna. Gopya dadhe tvaya kritagasi dhamma tavat ya te dashashu kalilanjana sambramaksham vaktram niniya vaya bhavanaya stitasya sa mang vimohayati vir apiyat vibeti. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense. And your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes. And you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Here, instead of vidambana, the word vimohayati, causing bewilderment, is used. So, famous pastime of Krishna, we may wonder, how does Kunti know about this pastime? She wasn't in Vrindavan at the time. It may well be that the word spread. The wives of Krishna certainly heard about these, and therefore from them certainly Kunti Devi would have heard. This was a famous, it becomes one of the most famous pastimes of Krishna. Why? Because it demonstrates the wonderful character of the love of Mother Yashoda. And at the same time, it's a fun pastime. It's very it draws us into a situation that we can almost imagine. This little boy who is something of a rascal, and he likes yogurt, and he likes to eat yogurt and butter, and he likes to distribute it. And he doesn't mind causing some trouble for his mother. Small children in general seem to be like that. They don't mind causing some trouble for their mother, sometimes provoking them intentionally, perhaps, just so that they will come and give them their attention. And of course, this is very much what this story is about. Give me attention. And this is, of course, celebrated in our tradition, especially in the month of Damodar. Namamishvaram Sachitanandarupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Rajamanam Yashodabiyolukalat Davamanam Paramrishtam Atyantato Drutyagopya. How Mother Yashoda is running after this Lord who is Isham, Namam Ishvaram Sachitanandarupam, this first totally abstract description of the Lord, and then immediately coming to the particular of this special situation of Krishna being chased by his mother and him appearing fearful as she chases angrily, sort of angrily, after him. Some things in this purport I found interesting. It's a bit longer purport, and I might have done well to mark the points that are there. But one point struck me is Prabhupada mentions here somewhere that Mother Yashoda ties up Krishna as would be common, as would typically be done, something like that. As a mother might, you know, typically tie up her child. And I thought, really? Is this what Bengali mothers do with their small children? Do they tie up, or in the Braj area? This was a little bit surprising to me. The general point being that the behavior of mother and child was, in a sense, typical, being that of children and mothers. And yet, this is Queen Kunti's perspective, her point of view. All of this is amazing and wonderful. She is not in the mood of Mother Yashoda. She is Queen Kunti, and she has her affection for Krishna as his, he is her nephew. Although, as Prabhupada is saying in the purport of the first verse we read, Kunti Devi knew that Krishna was neither her nephew nor an ordinary family member of her paternal house. So there is this this contradiction which is a paradox. And it is this paradox which the devotees can celebrate. The devotees can understand the Lord exactly is he is the reservoir of paradox. And as such, this is what makes him what he is. And this makes it possible for us to know him. Speaking again about our Shaddarshana course, as we were discussing the classical yoga tradition, we came across an article which elaborates about the yoga concept of God. So the yoga concept of God is, because the yoga darshana, the yoga sutras of Patanjali mention Ishvara Pranidhana as a practice that you can do, or it's recommended to do. Pranidhana can mean surrender, it can mean worship. in order to attain the perfection which yoga aims for, which apparently is an ultimate unconsciousness, not very appealing for devotees, which is why the Vaishnavas, the Vedanta tradition in general, rejects the yoga darshana in terms of its soteriology, what it is it aims for. But in this article, one scholar is analyzing this God of the yoga system, and he points out there are four things which are going on here, and they're all forms of deconstruction, which this author, this scholar, seemed to find very nice. One is depersonalization. This is very nice. We're having a depersonalized God. Okay. Then what he calls de-anthropomorphism, so a dehumanization of God, and then a demythologization of God. Take away all these stories about God. Remove them. We don't need them. They only lead to the conflict, the mita kali that Queen Kunti describes. We don't need any of that. Demythologize God. And then finally, deconceptualization. We should not even have a concept of God. Rather, he is beyond all conceptualization. Well, as I understood from this particular scholar, his main thrust was to say, he said, I don't go with these atheists who reject the existence of God, but we need a bigger vision, understanding of God. But for him, that required, first of all these this and that, deconstructions, depersonalism, etc., etc. Then we have a bigger... No. We understand from Queen Kunti, you want a bigger vision of God, you need to recognize both aspects of God and allow both of them to come together in the person, the Supreme Person. And in that way, stretch your understanding to the limit, to actually break the limit, and indeed to give up conceptualization in the sense of limitation. So that's what's going on when Queen Kunti is addressing Krishna. And of course, the wonderful thing is she's addressing Krishna directly. She's standing right in front of him saying, you are like this and you are like that, and it's all amazing, it's all wonderful. And Krishna is simply listening. He listens and appreciates the prayers, and then he will sort of nod his appreciation, and then he will go on his way. Hare Krishna. Something about these four verses, which was my task today. Is there anything more to be said? There's certainly more to be said, but anything you want to suggest? Yes. Yeah? How is it that it happens? The verse doesn't explain, but the implication, which Prabhupada is suggesting from his purport, is it's happening because of the actions of living entities, which are invariably related with other living entities. Where is it? Third chapter or second chapter? There's this verse. Jivo jivasya jivanam. How does it begin? that all living entities are one living entity is food for another. Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatuspadam phalguni tatramahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. That the living entities without hands, ahastani sahastanam, are food for those with hands. Apadani chaduspadam, and those without feet are food for those with 4 feet. Palguni tatra mahatam, and so the insignificant, palguni tatra mahatam, are for the great, and then the general principle, jivo jivasya jivanam. The life is the life of the lives. And so everyone is eating someone. And that is, that's karma. All of that, that is, and the living entities that are being eaten don't want to be eaten. And therefore there is resistance, and this brings conflict. And so among human beings especially, who are also trying to eat each other, if not, you know, in the gross way, in various subtle ways, then there is conflict. Eating one can think of in the broader sense of consuming atyahara, you know, consuming too much is controlling, trying to be the Lord. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to share one other episode I just read about today, which is with respect to this theme of karma and action and going beyond karma in devotional service. I was just reading this morning Giriraj Swami's Memories of Mother Yamuna Devi. And they were in Bombay preparing for one of the big Pandal programs that they were organizing. And they had organized departments for different devotees to manage for this very large event. So Mother Yamuna Devi was put in charge of the deities, and these were going to be new, for the first time, marble deities, Radha Rasa Vihari, large deities. And some days before the first pandal, there were no clothes prepared for them, and there was need for lots for collecting funds, and it fell upon her to do the fundraising for getting cloth to get an outfit and ornaments and everything. And all of this had to happen within a few days. And she was out in Bombay trying to meet people and collect donations. And it just wasn't working. No money was coming in. And at one point, she kind of broke down. And she was on the street, and she sat down on the side of the street, and she was crying. And as she was crying, this black limousine drives by and stops. And a man gets out and asks her, "Why are you crying?" And she explained the whole story. And the man said, "How much money do you need?" And she said, "Well, we need 2,500 rupees," which at that time was a lot more money in the early 70s than it is now. Now it's about 20 euros. We need 2,000. He said, "All right." He said, "I am actually in charge for two temples, funding of two temples. So you just come by my office, here's my address, and I will give you the money." Hare Krishna. So, So she had this resolve, this intense desire to serve the Lord. And yeah, the Lord reciprocated in a way which you wouldn't expect in the middle of Bombay. Makes you almost believe in God, doesn't it? Okay. Anything else? Yes, Shamanandaji. Yeah. Well, if Prabhupada meant that she is, in effect, unconscious of that relationship, I would think he would write, Kunti Devi was forgetting or not thinking, but he says it the other way around. He says, Kunti Devi knew that Krishna was neither her nephew nor an ordinary family member. So Prabhupada wants to emphasize that she knows that Krishna is her nephew, but he's so much more than that. He's so much more than that, and that is obvious from what she is saying about him. She is describing him as the Lord in, you might say, very Vedantic terms. It's a kind of inverse of Mother Yashoda, isn't it? That Mother Yashoda knows Krishna as her child. And because she knows Krishna as her child, therefore the interaction can take place as it does. And that's exactly how Krishna wants it. Here, Krishna seems to want just the inverse of that. And so that's being sort of played out. We might say also, in this context of first canto, this is what is needed. And it's interesting because in this bigger context of, these basically formal prayers, there is this allusion to this very intimate situation of Krishna and Mother Yashoda. And that will come, and that's something I talk about in overviews of the Bhagavatam. We get these little snippets toward the beginning, and then we get in a kind of spiral returning to the same themes with more and more expansion of each theme as one progresses through the Bhagavatam until you get to the 10th canto, in which you get the full unfolding of the story. So here, the emphasis is on who is Krishna as in terms of ontology, not in terms of ontology and tattva rather than rasa. But there's also so much rasa, and that's the Bhagavatam is it's for the rasikas. It's relishable in every verse. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanande.